Today's scripture is from 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. That's my basic truth today. The outline is the Christian life is a fight. Second, the Christian life is a good fight. And third, the Christian life is a fight of faith. And I thank J.C. Ryle for the outline today. First, the Christian life is a fight. The word fight here means to compete, strive, contend. It's a word used in the sense of an athlete, a wrestler, or a boxer. Fight is sometimes translated strive, as it is in Luke 13:24. When Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow door. Fight is at other times translated contend, as it is in Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith. There's a great weight in the New Testament on this concept to fight, much more than the slogan we know, let go and let God. Well, God calls us to be active contenders, not passive observers. 1 Timothy begins with this same idea, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Fight the good fight, keeping the faith. Pastor, you say, I don't like fighting. I don't pick fights. I prefer to stay out of it. But you don't really have a choice. Once you are enrolled in the school of Christ, three bullies show up in the schoolyard and pick a fight with you. These bullies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. They are relentless in their competition against the Christian. Christians fight the world by being transformed people. Now, there's three meanings of the word world in the Bible. There's the world of creation, then there's the world of people, then there is this world of hostility to God. We are not called to fight creation or people, but to fight, to contend with the hostile world, the world of demonically inspired flesh. There is a godless system in every generation that oppresses Christians. This system suppresses Christian truth. It pressures Christians to conform. And Romans 12:2 defines this fight. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must fight because the world makes a frontal attack on the Christian's mind. My favorite villain in Star Trek, the series, is the Borg. The Borg want to assimilate every living creature and take away all individuality. The Borg is a collective, a hive mind. Everyone must conform and become an enslaved drone who can't think or act for themselves. It's so efficient, they say. No, it's so tyrannical. Christians must fight by refusing to be conformed to the collective hive mindset. And Christians must fight the flesh by fleeing lust and denying self. In the previous verse, verse 11, it says, flee from these things. These things are things Paul has been unpacking earlier in the chapter and in the book of 1 Timothy. He says to flee from the love of money, from greed, flee from sick cravings, foolish controversies. And he also says to deny self-conceit. Flee and deny. This is the way we fight the flesh. And then Christians must fight the devil by resisting the devil and submitting to God. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now that's a good picture of what we call spiritual warfare. It is a fight to submit to God and resist the devil so he flees from us. Well, how do we resist the devil? Well, the devil is a liar, a deceiver, a stealer, a slanderer, an accuser, a destroyer. So we resist the devil by resisting his lies and slander. Slander is the devil's number one weapon in these last days. Now, when we submit to God, we are submitting to his word, his truth, his ethic, and his creation order. And thank God for the moral compass and clarity his truth and his word provides, so we can see our way through the moral chaos and false accusations of our day. So the Christian life is a fight against the world's way of thinking, a fight against the flesh's way of craving, and a fight against the devil's way of deceiving. J.C. Ryle said, "I fear much for many professing Christians. I see no sign of fighting in them, much less of victory. They never strike one stroke on the side of Christ. They are at peace with his enemies. They have no quarrel with sin. I warn you, this is not Christianity. This is not the way to heaven." The Christian life is a fight. Second, the Christian life is a good fight. We've all seen bad fights, ugly fights, unnecessary fighting, but there is a good fight to fight, and the Bible allows for such good fighting. Well, what is this good fight? Well, this is a case where you want to read our verse 12 in context, because the context makes the good fight clear. Once again, verse 11, "Flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which indeed you are called." So the good fight Paul is speaking of here is a fight to flee from evil and pursue virtue. We pursue virtues like righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight for these things. And look how the word fight follows immediately after the word gentleness. Did you know you have to fight to be gentle? The scripture says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath." So a good fight is one that de-escalates a situation and puts on gentleness. A good fight also involves fleeing from evil. If we want to be men of God and women of God, we must flee from the love of money and other things Paul mentions here in this letter. So a good fight is to know what to run from and what to pursue. And the rest of verse 12 gives us another clue as to what a good fight is. It says, "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." Fight to take hold of eternal life. The eternal life we know is a free gift of God. It is a relationship with God through Jesus. So in what sense do we fight for it? Well, it says we must fight to take hold of it, meaning to live it out, to live it to the full, to seize, to grab onto, to possess and enjoy this new relationship with God through Christ. After all, we can possess something and not use it or enjoy it. I possess a pretty nice bike. I can't remember riding much last summer, so this summer I've been trying to ride my bike more. This past week, I took a good bike ride on the Dakota Trail. I biked all the way to Mound, took a quick swim to cool off, and then I got a scoop of Mackinac fudge ice cream. Wow, that was good. And then I remembered I had 15 miles to go to get back to the car. More fight ahead. But most of the time, my bike is sitting in the garage, and in order for me to enjoy it, I have to take hold of it, get it on the bike rack, out on the trail, and go riding. So likewise, Paul is telling Timothy to take hold of eternal life to which you were called. Eternal life is not just a future hope when we're dead and gone. It is a present possession. Take hold of all the abundance and enjoyments of Christian living now. Don't just be a Christian. Enjoy being a Christian and walking with Christ. Well, young Timothy was timid and passive. He was the pastor in Ephesus, the city where there was a giant riot against Paul. Fighting was not in Timothy's nature. So Paul urges him to learn to fight the good fight. What we like about the Apostle Paul and our Savior Jesus is that they never stopped fighting the good fight. These are Paul's last words at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight, he says. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, in the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The Christian life is a good fight with good results. It is a fight worth fighting for our Lord and Savior Jesus. Finally, the Christian life is a fight of faith. Some translations say in verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. The fight of faith is different from the good fight. The good fight is a fight for moral virtue. It's a fight of right over wrong, of good over evil. But the fight of the faith is a fight for truth over error. The faith means Christian doctrine and the creed. Well, Christians were apparently leaving the faith in Timothy's time. We look down at the end of the chapter, verse 20. Paul says, Timothy, protect what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly, empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thereby have gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. Well, Paul mentions two men who have gone astray, Hymenaeus and Alexander. Paul says they shipwrecked their faith. Well, why did they go astray? Why do many Christians go astray today? Well, one reason is because they begin to believe what is false. They have no answer to the opposing arguments that lead the Christian out of the faith. They haven't learned to fight. Back in 2015, police arrested Jeff Waters. He was at the bank trying to cash a check for $368 billion. Well, the police asked him, where did you get the check? He said, I bought it for $100 from a man named Tito. Blame Tito, he said. I'm innocent. How gullible people can be. And how susceptible some Christians are to be fooled and to trade away the treasures of the gospel and try to cash in on the lie of the day. God help us. The fight of faith is a fight to keep on believing what is true, to protect what was entrusted. What's that? The treasure of the gospel. The faith summarized in the Apostles' Creed, the backbone of Christianity, and without this truth, Christians get squishy under pressure. When we fight for the faith, we keep on believing God and what He says about right and wrong, salvation and judgment, heaven and hell, marriage, sex, gender, and life. Natasha Crane wrote the book faithfully different. It's a good summary of the secular creed of our day. She summarizes 4 points. First, feelings are the ultimate guide. Second, happiness is the ultimate goal. Third, judging is the ultimate sin. And 4, God is the ultimate guess. That's the secular creed. These are the 4 major tenets of our world today. Feelings, the ultimate guide. Happiness, the ultimate goal. Judging, the ultimate sin. And God, the ultimate guess. Do you know anyone being led astray by these woke doctrines? I think we all do. And perhaps the biggest lie today is God loves me, and grace means He affirms whatever I want to do. Well, it's true, God loves you. But His grace is given to you so you can stay in the fight and become all He wants you to be. You'll notice these secular beliefs of our world, they're not grounded on any truth or any objective reality. They can change daily because they're based on self-assertion. Self is God in the secular worldview, and you can change yourself as many times as you want to. And that means the creed can change as many times as you want it to change. But to fight the fight of faith is to keep God at the center and kick self off the throne. To fight the fight of faith means we are not driven by fear or feelings. Fighting for the faith means we conserve that body of truth, those ancient paths handed down to us from the Word of God. These things are our guide today and for our children in the future. So in conclusion, my basic truth today is the Christian life is a fight. The Christian life is a good fight. And the Christian life is a fight of faith. How goes the battle for you? I consider it a good sign if you've been in a good fight of faith this week. The Christian I worry about is the one who is complacent, the one who is coasting, the one who is not engaged in the battle around them. Jude verses 3 and 4 sums up what we've been saying. Contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all time handed down to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons, who turn the grace of our God into indecent behavior and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. May it never be us, brothers and sisters, fight the good fight of faith.